Well, good morning, Dream City. How y'all doing today? It's good to see y'all in the house of God. Two weeks ago, I was asked to speak at the Church of God conference back in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And so I spoke for about 35 minutes, and then my dad was called up on the platform, and he and I did a 45-minute question and answer session. The very first question that a young pastor asked my dad was this question. He said, "Pastor Barnett, if you could live your life all over again, what would you do differently? Is there anything that you would do differently if you could live your life all over again?" And my dad, without hesitation, said these words. He said, "Yes. Number one, I would take more risks for God, because all the risks I took for God, God came through for me on. And number two, I would ask God for more stuff, because everything I've ever asked God for his kingdom, he has given unto me." And so this morning, I want to talk to you about how you can get more stuff from God, how you can pray that prayer and actually get more stuff from God for your personal life. We're in this series called Living on a Prayer. And for the past 3 weeks, we've been looking at the Lord's Prayer found in Matthew chapter 6. And if you know the Lord's Prayer begins this way. It begins with Jesus saying, "When you pray, pray in this way." Pray in this way, not pray this way. See, the Lord's Prayer was never meant to be prayed verbatim. It was more meant to be a pattern of prayer or a model for us to pray. And so Jesus says, when you pray, pray in this way. He said, pray, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name." That's the person of prayer. He's our Father. He's our Dad. He's above it all. He's above all our circumstances. And we hallow his name. Then he said, pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That's the program of God. That's the program of prayer. See, we pray to the person of prayer, that's God. We pray his program, "Your kingdom come," not "my kingdom," "your agenda come in my life on this earth." And when you pray, when you get the person of prayer right, and when you get the program of prayer right, then you ask for the provision of prayer. "Give us this day our daily bread." Now notice, Jesus did not say, "Give us this day our Mercedes Benz," or "Give us this day our brand new mansion." Jesus is teaching us to pray for sustenance and not lavishness. In other words, if all God ever hears from us is, "Give me this home, Lord, give me this car, give me this good-looking girlfriend, give me this good-looking boyfriend, give me this new wardrobe, give me this status or influence," if that's all we go to the Lord with, then we have totally missed the whole point of prayer. Now, some of you come back at me and you say, "Well, look, are we only supposed to pray about our needs? Are we not supposed to bring our desires to God? Isn't there a verse in the Bible that says that he will give us the desires of our heart?" Oh man, you guys are so biblically literate. Yes, there is a verse like that. Psalm 37:4, "Delight yourself in the Lord." Everybody say delight. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. But notice how the verse is structured. It's kind of built as an if-then statement. If you delight yourself in the Lord, then he will give you the desires of your heart. You see, when we delight ourselves in the Lord, what happens is his program becomes our program. When we delight ourselves in the Lord, his agenda becomes our agenda, and his priorities become our priorities, and we begin to determine the important decisions of our life based on his kingdom, based on his standard. Now, of course, a person who delights himself or herself in the Lord may very well desire a new car or a new house or a new wardrobe, or for God to bless their business. But he or she will pray that prayer with a totally different motivation. Now, what is the motivation? Here it is right here. "Lord, give me this house so that," everybody say, "so that." "Lord, give me this house so that it can become your house. Lord, give me this car so that it can become your car, useful for your kingdom and not just my little kingdom." Lord, give me this job so I can use the resources to build your kingdom. Lord, bless my business so that I can use the resources to bless your kingdom. Lord, touch my investments and my investment portfolio. Help it to grow and prosper so that I can build up your kingdom. What God is saying is this, if you want my blessings just so you can spend it on yourself and bless your own little kingdom, then don't expect too much from me in prayer, because I'm only interested in answering the prayers of people who pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on this earth. And they really mean business when they pray that prayer. Now, there's a great statement in the Bible about which prayers our Heavenly Father will or will not answer. It's found one chapter over from Matthew 6. So turn to Matthew chapter 7. If you don't have your Bibles, you're going to hell. No, just kidding. If you don't have your Bibles, I had to loosen you up a little bit here today. If you have Bibles, look at the video screen, like all the other sinners do. And Matthew chapter 7. Come on, some of you, you're uptight. Loosen up, all right? We're having fun here today. Matthew 7, verse 7. Jesus is teaching you now, right now, how to get your prayers answered. How many of you have some prayers that you want answered? Raise your hand real high. Some of you, how many love God? Raise your hand real high. How many of you love God's son Jesus? Raise your hand real high. How many of you wouldn't raise your hand no matter what I said? That's what I thought. Okay, so I'm trying to wake you up a little bit out there today. Here's what Jesus says about how your prayers can be answered. Ask. Everybody say ask. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek. Everybody say seek. Seek and you will find. Knock. Everybody say knock. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone, notice everyone, everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If then you, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Now, this is a very powerful passage when it comes to having our needs met. Because Jesus simply says, if you want something, you gotta ask. You gotta seek. You gotta knock. Now, asking isn't foreign to us. You know how to ask for stuff. And if you have children, you know that they are probably constantly in asking mode. Your kids, like my kids, are master askers. They know how to ask. In fact, when was the last time your child came to you and said, hey, mom, or hey, dad, what can I do for you today? How can I bless your kingdom today? How can I bless your little abode today? Can I mow the lawn, please? Can I mop the floor, please? Can I clean my room, please? If my kids came to me with that request, I would think they were high on drugs or something like that or something. You know, what's wrong with you, right? Well, in this passage of scripture, God invites his children to just be children. He says, ask, seek, knock. And if those statements aren't staggered enough, notice to whom he delivers this invitation. He says, everyone, everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks knocks. Now, some of you are saying, well, Luke, that hasn't worked for me. Wait a minute. I got needs, and I've been asking for years. I've been seeking for decades, and I can't find the answer. I've been knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door ever since Axl Rose wrote the song. And heaven still hasn't answered the door. And sometimes when our requests seem to be met with silence instead of solutions, it appears as though the passage doesn't line up with real life. Like it's not reality, like the Bible doesn't work. Isn't this a contradiction, Luke? Isn't this passage of scripture written by Jesus or spoken by Jesus? Isn't this an open-ended promise of God's provision? Well, not quite. That's why reading the Bible in context is so important. You can take any verse in the Bible and you can make it say whatever you want it to say unless you read the whole thing in context or read the whole story. So let's look again at verse 9. And pay special attention to the two comparisons that Jesus makes. He compares bread and fish to stone and snake. What's the point? Well, obviously, bread and fish is good for you, right? Well, a stone or snake would not be good for you. The earthly son has requested two good items, and the earthly father responds by giving it to the son because they're good for the son. And conversely, if an earthly son asks for a stone or a snake to eat, any loving good earthly father wouldn't give it to his child because that would not be good for them. Now, speaking of snakes, I hate snakes. I hate snakes with a passion. My wife, Angel, she's known in her neighborhood as the snake killer. Because our neighbors call us and they say, if they have a rattlesnake, will you please come to our house? We have a rattlesnake. So she runs over there with her little tool. She has a little clamp. She clamps the head of the snake and she takes a shovel and she chops it off. She is like the snake killer in our community. All these Canadians who come here, they can't handle the snakes, but Angel, she can handle them. So we are driving to Florida to drop my youngest daughter off at Southeastern University about 4 weeks ago. And we were driving down the panhandle of Florida there. We stopped at a little beach town, and we're going to stay the night. So we swam in the ocean, had a nice dinner. And so then we went to a store to get some supplies, some water and some things. And Anna Lee, she comes around the corner hiding something. She goes, Dad, look what I found. I go, what is it? It's this rubber snake. It looks exactly like a real snake. And here's my idea. Let's buy it. And let's put it under Mom's pillow in the hotel room. So when she gets in bed, she will scream. She will freak out. I said, great idea. Let's do it. This is awesome. And so we buy the snake and we sneak it back to the hotel room. We put it under her pillow and pull the sheets over it. And so Anna Lee and I were in the little common room watching television. And all of a sudden, at about 10 o'clock at night, we hear this death scream. It was not angelic. It was a death scream. And she comes running in the room, screaming, there's a snake, there's a snake, there's a snake. And we went in and grabbed it. We picked it up and said, ah, we gotcha. And the words that came out of her mouth next were nothing like an angel at all. They were more like a demon than they came out. But she has repented and confessed to that. And I said, babe, listen, the Bible says that a father would not give his son a snake. It says nothing about a husband giving his wife a snake. So I'm just being biblically accurate here. Now let's put the whole thing together here today. You still with me out there? God is not saying ask for whatever you want and you'll get it. He's saying ask for what is good. And when you ask for good things, your heavenly Father will surely approve it. And he will never substitute something that is harmful for you. So if you're praying for something that you desire and you have not yet received it, it is because, number one, you either asked for something that's not good for you and a good father wouldn't give you something that's going to ruin you or wreck you. Or number two, it's not good for you yet. You need some time to mature. You need some time to grow closer to God so that when he does give it to you, you're ready for it. You won't squander it. You'll use it for something good. In other words, God may not be saying no. He may be saying not yet. Just wait a while. Now, again, some of you are pushing back in your minds on me right now by saying, wait a minute, Luke, my circumstances are miserable right now. Everything I touch seems to be falling apart. And I'm praying about it, just like the young lady sang a moment ago. I'm on my knees. I'm praying. I'm asking. I'm seeking. I'm knocking. And I've heard nothing. And it seems that right now my world is crumbling and falling apart. If God doesn't give his children stones or snakes, and why do I have all these vipers nipping at my heels every day? And why are all these stones pelting my life and my body every single day? Why doesn't God move? Why doesn't God act? Why doesn't God meet my request? Can I suggest to you that you read Romans 8:28? Because the verse says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, friends, look at me. If you really love God, and if you're really living your life for his kingdom and not your kingdom, I mean, if you love God deeply, down to your gut, down to your soul, you know, the real you, then I have some good news for you today. That mess that you're in today will become the trophies on your wall tomorrow if you stay in the game and you don't quit and you let God make you and mold you into what he wants you to be. Now, let me come at this from a different direction. My wife, Angel, is a fantastic baker. Her specialty is pumpkin pie. Nobody can make pumpkin pie like my Angel. People say, oh, Costco has the best pumpkin pie. I spit on Costco's pumpkin pie. It pales in comparison to Angel's pumpkin pie. In fact, starting October 15th through December 31st, I will live on a steady diet of pumpkin pie and eggnog and Starbucks coffee. Because my wife is here every night of the week preparing for the Christmas production. And so I eat pumpkin pie every night. That's her specialty. But you know, when she's mixing the ingredients of the pumpkin pie together, it doesn't look like much. It's messy and gooey and anything but appetizing. Then that orangish-brown mixture is poured into a pan, and all of a sudden it starts to take shape. But still, it's a little more than a partially coagulated mess. But then it's put into the oven, and given enough time in the crucible of pain and anguish and heat and burning, a delectable, delicious pie will emerge. And I'm here to tell you today, if you love God, I mean, if you really love God down to your soul, and you're living your life for God's kingdom, it does not matter how hot the oven may be right now. When the allotted time is over, the same people who paid little attention to you because you were just a gooey mess will wonder where this delectable, delicious dessert came from. Your life will be something very desirable. Well, look, I wish God would just get on with it. Well, He is, by getting on you. And if you'll stay in the game and you just accept the heat and keep being strong and don't give up and don't scrap the dream, if you'll just stay in the race, you're going to win the race in the end. I love the story that Charlton Heston tells. Charlton Heston was a famous actor several years ago, and he was a star actor in the original Ben-Hur movie. Anybody here ever see Ben-Hur movie? Well, He did not really know about horses and chariots, and so he had to learn how to actually drive a chariot. And so he was nervous about this because he wasn't real good at it. Back in those days, they couldn't just digitally, you know, kind of fake the movie, you know, by doing it digitally. They had to actually run the race around the arena, and he had to drive this chariot. And so he was very nervous, and he went to the producer and says, listen, or the director rather, and said, listen, I can drive the chariot in the race. I just don't know if I can win the race. And the director said, tell you what, you just stay in the race and I'll make sure that you win the thing. And that's what God is saying to someone here today. Things may be difficult. Things may be trying right now. The heat may be turned up in your life. You may not know which way to go right now, but if you would just keep your faith and you stay strong and you don't quit and stay in the race, God's going to help you win the race in the end. Come on, say a big amen. That's God's plan for your life. That's God's will for your life. So I want to encourage you today, ask. Come on, ask. You're a child of God. Ask. But before you ask, make sure to the best of your knowledge that what you're asking for is good. And if it's good for you, and if it's good for God's kingdom, the Bible says you shall receive. That's a promise from God. But if there is a delay, maybe God is saying to you that this thing you're asking for would not be good for you. Or maybe God is saying it would not be good for you right now. Maybe it's not no, maybe it's just wait. Wait a little bit longer. Well, Luke, how do I determine if my request qualifies for the good category? Well, I would suggest you ask yourself two questions. You can write these down on your outline. Here's the first question. Is there anything in Scripture that justifies my request? Is there anything in Scripture that justifies my request? For an example, James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Now, obviously, asking God for godly wisdom is a prayer that he will grant every single time, because that lines up with his kingdom agenda. But suppose that there's no direct biblical support for what you've requested. In other words, suppose that you're not asking God for a need, you're asking for a desire. Is it okay to ask God for certain desires of a heart? Sure. But it does bring into play our next question here, and here it is. If God grants my request, what will He get out of it? This thing I'm asking for God for, how will this advance His kingdom? How will God's plan, how will God's program be blessed if God actually does what I'm asking Him to do? Now, let me drive this point home. Some of you know the university called Lee Terno University, named after a man named R.G. Lee Terno. And some of you don't know the story, some of you do, so allow me just 2 minutes to educate you on this man's story. Take a look at this.
Laterno University was founded in 1946 by world-renowned inventor and industrialist R.G. Laterno and his wife Evelyn. Though he had given his life to Christ early on, R.G. Laterno had also heeded the advice that God needs businessmen as much as pastors, and became one of the world's most prolific inventors with almost 300 patents. He became known as a mover of men and mountains. Inventions included the forerunner of the modern earth mover, the electric wheel, the tree crusher, the log picker, the bulldozer, the airplane tow, the air crane, and the first offshore oil platform. He designed and built 70% of the heavy earth-moving equipment used in World War II. Evelyn Laterno, in addition to rearing 6 children, conducted Bible studies, started Christian youth camps, and counseled, fed, and even housed the young men her husband employed. R.G. and Evelyn had a goal to reach the world, especially young people, with the gospel of Christ. An early camp employee was a very young Billy Graham. One day in 1945, the Laternos were flying over Longview, scouting locations for a new heavy equipment factory. They looked down upon the 156 acres and 232 buildings of the abandoned Harmon Army General Hospital, scheduled for demolition. They agreed that the facilities should not be destroyed, but instead reclaimed as a school to train employees. And in 1946, the Laterno Technical Institute opened its doors with 196 students. Degrees were offered in building trades, electrical maintenance, industrial science, lithography, metallurgy, machine tooling, and welding. The growing Technical Institute was expanded with a School of Arts and Sciences and renamed Laterno College in 1961.
Let me tell you the rest of the story. When Laterno was a very young man, he prayed this prayer one day before God. You want to know how to get your prayers answered? Listen to this prayer. He said, "God, please make me so prosperous." When was the last time that you prayed that God would make you prosperous? "God, make me so prosperous that I could live on 10% of my income and contribute the rest to your work." Sort of a reverse tithe. God not only answered his prayer, but also provided so abundantly for his family that the remaining 10% made Laterno a multi-millionaire. Why did God answer Laterno's request? Because it was rooted in his desire to glorify God and to advance the kingdom of God. It's the prayer that Jesus prayed at the very end of this chapter. "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you as well." So what do you say? Let's be askers. We are his children. Let's ask God. And if it's good for you, and if it's good for God's kingdom, the Bible says that you shall receive. Let me close with one last thought here today. Notice Jesus' choice of words in the Lord's Prayer. He says, "Give us what? Give us this day our daily bread." God wants you to lean on him one day at a time. He wants you to live your life one day at a time. When I was a little boy, there's a song we sing in church. "One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking from you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Just show me yesterday. Lord, help me today, show me the way, one day at a time." It's been a long time since I sung that song. He wants you to live for him today. He wants you to lean upon him today. That's why he said, pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." Remember when the children of Israel were held in bondage to Egypt? Brutal slavery for 400 years, being beaten to a pulp every single day. And so God says, "I'm going to send the 10 plagues to Egypt. And during those 10 plagues, God provided a way of escape for his children during that time. Then he sent the angel of death to take the firstborn child of every household. And yet God said, I'm going to provide a way of escape. Go to your herd and take some blood of the lamb and paint it over your doorpost. And I will instruct my angel of death to pass over your household and allow your firstborn child to live. God provided a way. And then God provided a great leader, a deliverer named Moses. And Moses leads them out of Egypt right up to the Red Sea. And now they're trapped against the Red Sea with the Egyptian National Guard closing in from behind. This is all the makings of an old-fashioned Holocaust. They're going to be slaughtered. But once again, God steps up and provides. He provides a miracle and he parts the Red Sea. And they walk right through on dry ground. And now they're in the desert and they're thirsty and they cry out, God, we're going to die of thirst. And so God says, Moses, take your staff and strike that big boulder, and water begin to gush out of that boulder. And God provides another miracle. He kept providing and providing and providing. They didn't have any direction. So God says, I'll lead you by a pillar in the cloud by day and a fire by night. God gave them direction. After all these miracles and all these provisions, you would think that the children of Israel would just be grateful little children, right? Trusting on God every day to come through for them. But the Bible says they start grumbling and they start complaining against Moses and against God because they ran out of food. And they said, Moses, we were happier back in Egypt. Back when we were being whipped and beaten every single day. Yeah, we were in slavery, but at least we had food. We're going to die out here in the desert. So what does God do? God steps up yet again. Exodus 16:14. The Bible says, when the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost appeared on the ground and on the desert floor. This is one of my favorite breakfast foods growing up. Frosted flakes right here. And it comes right out of the Bible. It's amazing. Some of you, you know, parents, you won't let your kids have sugar for breakfast. You are defying the word of God. Right here it says, God provided frosted flakes for them. For 40 years, now catch this, don't miss the point. For 40 years, every morning without fail, God provided these white, fluffy flakes of manna for them to eat. They'd wake up in the morning, it'd be all over the ground. They would just pick it up and they would eat it. But there was one little catch to the story. You see, manna could not be stored. And those who tried to store it up and use it for the next day found that every day they'd try that, there'd be maggots and worms in the manna. That was God's intention. You know why? Because God did not want them living on yesterday's manna. God wanted them to trust him for their daily bread. Now, most likely, you have enough bread in your freezer to last you for weeks. But you still may be metaphorically living on yesterday's manna. And friends, God wants you to remember each day where your blessings come from. He wants you to remember today where your provisions come from, where your forgiveness has come from, where God's grace comes from, where your very life comes from. I mean, that beat of your heart right there, that wasn't you. That was God. He's the one that sustains your life. That breath you just took, your ability to suck in air, that was God. When was the last time you thanked God for air? When was the last time you thanked God for your little heart valve opening so the blood can get through to your heart? That's all God. If you're a grateful person, you never run out of things to be grateful to God for. Lamentations 3:22 says, the Lord's loving kindness never stops, for his compassion never fails. It is new every morning. Let me just close with this idea. I think that my dad, I think he got the prayer right. I think the reason why he can make a statement like, everything I've ever asked God for his kingdom, he's given to me. I just didn't ask for enough. I should have asked God for more. I think the reason why he can say that and really mean it was because he learned how to pray the Lord's Prayer. My Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. There's no one like you in all the earth. There's no friend like you. There's no parent like you. You're the greatest. That's why I hallow your name. I put you in a class all on your own. He got the person of God right. And when you get the person of God right, then you get the program of God right. Your kingdom come, not my kingdom. your kingdom come. Your will be done, not my will be done. Your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. And I submit my life, I submit my agenda to your kingdom agenda. Are you following me? Friends, when you get the person of God right and you get the program of God right, you will get the provision of God. Now, God, because I'm coming to my Father and you care about me, and because I care more about your program than my program, I'm going to ask you to give me this day my daily bread. You know what God says? He looks down at Tommy Barnett and says, that one right there, that's a good investment. That's a good investment. I'm going to keep pouring out my blessings upon him because I know that his primary concern in life is my kingdom, my glory, spreading my fame. Well, Luke, I wish I could be like Letourneau. God bless me that way. Boy, I'd be generous. Letourneau once said that if he would not have tithed on his first $100, then he never would have been able to reverse tithe and give 90% back to God. So what are you doing today? Because you have a little domain right now, don't you? All of you have a little kingdom right now. Have you submitted your little kingdom to God's kingdom? Because when you do that, he opens the windows of heaven and pours out so much blessing that you can't contain it. Why? Because he knows you're going to pour it right back in and be a blessing to his kingdom. My prayer for this church is that all of us would catch this and that we'd be kingdom-minded people. That we'd seek first. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Just do righteous things. And he will give you everything that you need. Amen? Is that the way you want to live your life? That's how I want to live my life too. God help us to live our lives that way. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your word. In a crazy, nutty world, where the resounding message from our media is, it's your life. Do what you want with it. Just do you. Just do it. It's all about you. We come to church and we're hit with a new message. And the message is, our life is not our own. We've been bought with a price. We've been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. And Father, we are so grateful to you. We just want to praise you. We just want to worship you. We want our lives to count. We want our lives to matter. So we just want to praise you and worship you. Just for about 30 seconds, let's just all just lift our hands. Just praise God all across this place. Father, we just want to praise you. We just want to love you. We just want you to know that with all our hearts, we want you to be first place in our life. Our greatest priority in life is to be you, God. And so right now, as a church family, we just surrender our agenda to you. We surrender our little kingdom. Our cars are your cars. Our homes are your homes. Our clothes are your clothes. We submit our agenda to you because you gave it all for us. And Father, we know that when we submit it all back to you, you just want to bless us more. And more and more, because you're a good, good Father. We love you. We give you our hearts today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. God bless you all.
I want to thank you for watching this message today. I believe that right now, as you're watching this video, God is speaking to your heart. God is speaking to you about a new life, a new future, a new hope. The Bible says that the way we connect with God is we actually call upon the name of the Lord. The Bible says, he who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's almost like taking your cell phone out and making a call to somebody that you really love. You're making the call. And I want to encourage you to make the call to God today. And as you do, he promises to forgive your sins, to adopt you into his family, and to give you a hope and a future. So today, if you are ready to call upon the name of the Lord, would you just close your eyes right now and just sincerely say these words to God? Dear Heavenly Father, just say those words. I ask you today to be the leader of my life. I ask you to forgive me for my sins and adopt me into your family. I want to be a Christian. I want to follow Jesus. So I give you my heart today. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for forgiving me. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says if you prayed that prayer, he heard you and he forgave you. So I want to say to you, welcome to the family of God. Go find a great church to be involved in. If you don't have one, come join us here at Dream City, and we'll help you live out the Christian faith and grow closer to Jesus. God bless you all.